यशोमति नन्दनं ब्रजवरनाद All the devotees at San Diego, please accept my respectful obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhubeva chapatita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai So, Jai Patak Swami Guru Maharaj ki jai So, thank you so much devotees for inviting me to your forum. I'm very glad to have all of your association. So I've been asked to speak on secrets of happy marriage life. So I don't know how much justice I can do to this topic, but I'll just repeat whatever I have heard and whatever I have read from Srila Prabhupada books. And coincidentally, this year 2021. Myself and my husband, on this coming September 25th, we will be completing 25 years of our marriage life. And I think that's one landmark, is it not, in marriage life? You complete 25 years. So we'll be completing 25 years of our marriage. So, so far, so good. Looks like we have a happy marriage. So, whatever I've gathered in our journey together, since we both come from a very diverse background, I'm a Gujarati, my husband is a Bengali. So, completely different culture, completely different language. And those of you who know us personally would vouch for it that there's nothing actually common between both of us. We're completely different, North and South Pole. But we are happy together. And I think it's all because of, there is Gujarat and there is Bengal and there's something called Vrindavan in between. And I think that works out for us. Because between the couple, if there is the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, then things just work out. I wouldn't say that I'm a perfect wife. And I wouldn't say my husband is a perfect husband. But between both of us, imperfect being, we have kept to worship Radha and Krishna, who are the perfect couple, as our goal. And that is helping us to let go each other's imperfections. And we are able to be happy and blissful in Krishna consciousness. So if Krishna is in between, if Radha and Krishna are in between, then everything will be happy. It would be a happy parenting, happy marriage, a happy job, just about everything. Happy community, happy society, just everybody can be happy because Krishna is that one in our life. No matter how many zeros we keep adding, if that one is missing, it becomes zero. So if we have Krishna in our life, then whatever we add, is it makes a complete life. So before I start today's class, I thought I'll read from a purport which is very much connected to our topic today. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 1, Verse Number 6. So I'll just read it for you. If you want, you can share the screen. Otherwise, I'll just read it. This is in connection of the daughters of Manu. So here, we'll not even read the verse. We'll quickly jump to the purport. So here, Srila Prabhupada gives a very, very beautiful purport. He says, an ideal husband and wife are generally called Lakshmi Narayan to compare them to the Lord and the Goddess of Fortune. For it is significant that Lakshmi Narayan are forever happy as husband and wife. A wife should always remain satisfied with her husband, and a husband should always remain satisfied with his wife. In the Chanakya Sloka, the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, it is said that if a husband and wife are always satisfied with one another, then the goddess of fortune automatically comes. In other words, where there is no disagreement between husband and wife, All material opulence is present. And good children are born. Generally, according to Vedic civilization, the wife is trained to be satisfied in all conditions. And the husband, according to Vedic instruction, is required to please the wife with sufficient food, ornaments and clothing. Then if they are satisfied with their mutual dealings, good children are born. In this way, the entire world can become peaceful. But unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are no ideal husbands and wife. Therefore, unwanted children are produced and there is no peace and prosperity in the present day world. And I thought this was a very, very beautiful purpose. If you go back, Srila Prabhupada is saying that in this world, everybody wants peace. We want to be happy. We want to be peaceful. We want to have prosperity. And he said, peaceful and prosperity can come in this Kali Yuga only if there is ideal husband and wife. But there is no ideal husband and wife. Ideal husband and wife means there should be ideal dealings. There should be a proper mutual dealings. A husband should work to satisfy wife and the wife should work to satisfy husband. And when they have proper respectful dealing, then good children are born. When good children are born, they at automatically the whole society will be prosperous. If the society is prosperous and peaceful, everybody can be happy. So I thought that was so important. And one another beautiful point which we'll all be attracted to. Everybody wants Lakshmi Devi in house. Everybody wants to have money. And here it's Chanakya Niti says that if there is no disagreement in a house between husband and wife, then in that house there'll be lot of Lakshmi. So somebody wants to be rich, somebody wants to make want good money, then there should be no disagreement, there should be no fighting between husband and wife. So I thought that was so beautiful. See, the problem nowadays is the acceptance quotient. The acceptance quotient is come to very low in all of our lives. If you see elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 3, there is this pastime of Sukanya and Chavan Rishi. And Chavan Muni was the age of grandfather for Sukanya. And they both get married. We know the whole pastime of how by mistake Sukanya has made a mistake and she just pricks his eyes by mistake while she was plucking flowers, and how Chavan Rishi gets very angry. So to escape his anger, his father offers Sukanya as in marriage. Now they both had a lot of age difference, but still Sukanya was such a obedient wife, such a chaste wife, and by that she made her husband so happy. So if we see such so many beautiful pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it's a life of Kardama Muni or Devahuti, or we see in the life of Aditi and Kashyap Muni. Kashyap Muni had many wives. It was not that Aditi was the only wife, but still they had a happy married life. You see, Pandavas, they apart from Draupadi, they had many wives, but then there was no quarrel among themselves. If you see Lord Sri Krishna, he had 16,108 wives, and we never hear about any problems between them. So like that, we see about Ambarish Maharaj, he was an ideal grahastha. So like that, we can go on and on from so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam of how all of them had such happy married lives. We never heard that Kunti had some issue with Draupadi, or we never heard Satyabhama had any problem with Devaki. They were all in congruence with each other, and they were happy. So the thing was, in those days the acceptance quotient was very high. Now the problem with us is we don't want to adjust or accept anything. We don't have an easy acceptance to anything because of too much choices. Because of the available of too many options and too many choices. You see, other day, my elder son, my 19-year-old son, you know, he gave me some choice on Amazon. You know, we were trying to order something, some curtain or something. So I was taking a long time to decide which one, this and that. And then he got a little upset and he said, "Mama, why are you taking so much time? Just let's get it. If we don't like it, we can return it. You'll get a refund and you can always return it." And I told him, "Look, beta, I'm not used to that culture." Because the way we were brought up, you select something and you stick with it whole life. There's nothing about return, refund. that those things were not there. They were there in the West from very beginning, but in India, this is very new concept. In India, the kind of culture that we have brought in, whether it's say you go to a departmental store or Kirana, there is nothing called exchange. You buy a thing, you think 10 times, but once you get it, it's yours for life. And you, there is nothing about exchanging or a refund. But now generation has this concept of what's the big thing? Why so much thinking over buying a particular thing? Get it, don't like it, exchange it. So the acceptance quotient has become so low, because they have so many choices. They have so many choices. When we were young, there were not so many choices. So that's how our mind got conditioned and trained, you know. Because I remember when we were young, on Doordarshan, there used to be something called Chitrahar. I don't know if you are of that age, you will know that Chitrahar. I think it used to come on Friday or something. And all the favorite Bollywood songs would come up. And there was no DJ, and there was no RJ. So there was no asking that, can you play my favorite song? You just enjoy whatever comes. And I remember myself and my younger sister, we were very happy. Or sometimes her favorite song comes up, and then sometimes my favorite song comes up, and we are happy with that. We're ready to accept. We're ready to accept. I remember even on our Sunday evening drives with our parents, you know, we just go out somewhere. Just put on the radio, whatever comes, you just accept it. That's it. There was no so many choices. I want to play this music, she'll say something. It was not like that. The whole culture was such that whatever comes your way, you accept it and try to be happy about it. But now there are so many choices, so many options. Now if you see a family on a Sunday evening in their car, I think everybody will be busy with their own cell phones and their own headphones or earphones, and they're listening their own music. There is nothing called accepting, adjusting with each other or something. Everybody has their own choice. So that acceptance quotient has gone down. And not only that, this acceptance quotient, not only in things, but now it has also cropped up in relationship. You don't like somebody, you walk out. So why? And that's the training even parents are inculcating in the children from the very childhood. They're training them. You don't like somebody, you don't have to tolerate, you just walk out. You know, we are there for you. I've sufficiently educated you. If your husband says something, you don't have to tolerate, you just walk out. So this is what is happening. Now the problem is, unlike the things, relationships are very complicated. You just can't get in and out of relationship just like that, because the body is a bundle of memories. So whatever we are doing every single day, talking, walking, touching, with all our five senses, what we are simply doing is we are accumulating memory. We are a bundle of memory. So our body is also a result of memories. Today, what do you see? Body features, they're all part of our previous great-great-grandfathers. Even if you don't know who is your great-grandfather, you still have his nose on your face. So the body is having lots of memories. So now these relationships wherein we invest our thoughts, our emotions, our time, all this leaves a profound sense of memory, and they compulsively stick to us. And now when you go get in and out of relationships, these memories, they don't go away so quickly. They stick to you. And when you try to rip them apart, then they cause pain. So it's painful. So that is why you see the generation Y, there is so much suffering. There's so much frustration. There's so much stress. Because they just move in and out. They just take relationships as an Amazon product which you can return and refund, you know, but it doesn't work like that. So that means we seriously need to work on this. We seriously need to work on our relationships. It's a very important part of our life. And because the goal of our life is to go back to Krishna. The goal of our lives is to have a beautiful vertical relationship with Krishna. But unless and until we harmonize our horizontal relationships with our wife, with our children, with our families, with our in-laws, we can't have a beautiful vertical relationship with Krishna. We'll have to have a fine balance. Otherwise, we'll be stuck in this world, right? So sometimes it's not that we can only keep speaking about Bhagavatam. There has to be a Bhagavatam class after the Bhagavatam class. That means to try to implement whatever we have heard by the stories of different grahasthas and try to take some lessons out of it and apply in our life, right? It's because relationships are so delicate. To manage a relationship is like juggling a ball. You know, when you juggle fireballs, what happens? You have to, when you are juggling balls, you have seen circus. Nowadays, there is no circus. When we were young, we used to say, the Joker used to juggle balls. And I tell you, it's not so easy when you are juggling balls. You have to be so sensitive and you have to be so attentive. Every single moment, a little bit your eyes goes this way and that and the ball will slip. And same thing with relationships. It's like juggling balls. You have to be attentive and careful every moment. Otherwise, you lose track. Otherwise, you lose it, right? So we really have to work on it. So we have to really work on our different quotient, tolerance quotient, acceptance, adjustments, gratitude. All these quotients, we'll have to work on that. Of course, when spoken like this, na, some people will come up with the argument. All this is nice, but you don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. He is, it's completely different. No matter how much I try, you don't know her. You don't know him. He's, okay. Now the thing is, you can't change him. You can't change her. What you can change is your perspective. You can't change the content of your life. What you can change is the context. That's the only option you have, right? You can't do anything outer. What you can do is the inner. That's the only thing which is there in your hand. Outer, you can't make any changes, right? Because it's all jumbled up. There is so much previous karma baggage that you are carrying. There's so much karmic runanubandhan that you have with that, you know, with your spouse, which you've been maybe carrying from many lifetimes. It's not so easy that you can just run away or escape from that relationship. So what you need to do is, you can't change the content. You change the context. You change the context. See, I'll tell you. On a certain day, there were these three people who were working. Some work they were doing. So this other man, he just goes and asks the first person. He says, "What are you doing?" He got very upset. He said, "Why are you asking like this? Can't you see? Are you blind? Can't you see I'm cutting stones?" He was very upset. "I'm just cutting." So he said, "Oh, sorry. Oh, you're cutting stones. All right." He went and asked the second person, "What are you doing?" He said, "What I'm doing? Whatever they're asking me to do, I'm doing. Something I have to do for my belly. You know, I work here, I come in the morning, whatever was they asked me to do, I do it. Somehow I get some salary. Life is going on." That's what he said. He went to the third person. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I am making a beautiful temple for Krishna." Now what happened is, all three of them are actually doing the same work. They are cutting stones. But the kind of experience that all three of them expressed are worlds apart. This man said, "I'm cutting stones. What's the big thing?" The same cutting stone, the other man said, "I'm making temple for Krishna." And the other man said, "Well, I'm just working for my belly." So what has happened? They can't change the content of their life. They have to cut stones. What they can change is context of their life, the perspective of looking at it. And if you can change the context of your life, then you can have a quality life. You can change the quality of your life. So what we are going to try to do today in the whatever time that we have is to work on how should we change the context of our life, because we can't change the content. That's predestined according to our karma, but we can change the way we look at it. We can change our perspective. So what I've done is I've made a acronym which we'll work. Grihastha, which is Grihastha, and we'll try to work on discuss different little additions that we can, or changes that we can make in our life by which we can have a happy Krishna conscious life. So the first thing is G. I was just wondering that all these couples that you hear about in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the glorious grihastha couples, what do they have in common? What is the one thing that they have in common? All the grihastha successful couples in Srimad Bhagavatam, what do they have in common? The one thing that they have in common is they all are very focused about the goal of their life. They're very focused about what's the goal of human life. And that is making them successful grihastha. Because when your goal is clear that you want to go back home, back to Godhead, when your goal is clear that you want to get Krishna, then other things will become smaller, right? See, when there are two lines, you know, without doing any changes, if you want to make this line, you know, bigger, what you do, you just need to make the line bigger than the smaller line. That means you just need to increase Krishna consciousness in your life, and then automatically the other things in your life will become small. The other things in your life will become small. So goal of life, that is why I often say that the biggest challenge is to keep the biggest challenge as the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge of our life is we have to go back home, back to Godhead. We have to be Krishna conscious. But that is the biggest challenge, because we are not able to keep that as our biggest challenge. We have got into smaller things. Oh, he isn't talking with me properly. That man cheated me. He said like that. She responded like that. My mother-in-law didn't invite me for this. There's so many things that we are getting diverted. So we are not able to keep the biggest challenge as the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge is we have to go back home. This is not our place. We are temporary here. We are suffering birth, death, old age and disease. There's so many miseries. This is Ashashvatam. This world, Krishna himself, who is the creator, says that this world is temporary and miseryful. Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. It's temporary and miseryful. So we need to go back. So if we keep that goal clear, so Grihastha means G for goal, plan your life. Plan your life. What do you want to do? Right. So often I say that like Abhimanyu, we know how to enter the Chakravyuh, but we don't know how to come out. Everybody enters into grihastha life, but they don't plan how they're going to come out of it. Like the Prachetas, they also had, you know, for many, many years, they enjoyed householder life. But then they know, okay, now I need to come out. Amrish Maharaj, okay, but now I need to come out. So you see any, whether it's Priyavarta Maharaj or when you see anybody in Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it's Dhruva Maharaj or just about anybody, everybody has planned their life. Okay, after this I have to come out. Whether it is Bharat Maharaj, whether it's Rahuguna, just about anybody. Everybody at the fag end of their life, they turn towards forest. Oh, now enough, I've done, now I need to go. Of course, we don't have a forest here, but then there's something inside we can do. Okay, this many years I'll give for this life, and then after that I'll do this, and after that I'll do that. We need to plan, we need to have a blueprint. So when we have a blueprint, then we can go in a proper direction. If you are in driving, but you haven't even set your GPS map where you want to go, where will you go? You need to set the destination, and then it will tell you, okay, take right and take left. So we need to set our destination. I want to be a good devotee, and I want to go back home, back to Godhead. And then you start your grihastha life, and then you can, you know where to go, where to stop, what to do. So first thing is keeping Krishna in center. It has to be a right balance. If you think, yeah, I want to be a good devotee and I'll not consciously work on my horizontal relationships also, it doesn't work. And if you think I'll simply work on my horizontal relationships and Krishna consciousness will automatically happen, that will also not happen. Because imagine you are very good grihastha. You have very nice relationship between husband and wife. But the Krishna conscious factor is missing. Then it will become something like there is a building which has many floors, but the foundation is weak. So what will happen? A little blow of wind and the whole building is going to crumble down. It will shake. So if there is the Krishna factor missing in your life, then what will happen? Even though you may be very happy grihasthas, but at any point of time, it will just crumble down. So foundation is Krishna consciousness. If the foundation is strong, then you can go on adding floor after floor and the building will look more and more beautiful. That means you'll have to maintain a proper balance between Krishna consciousness and your other material life. Or rather, my Guru Maharaj doesn't like when you use that word material life. I remember some time back somebody asked him a question, how do you manage your material and spiritual life? And he said, why do you have to have two lives? He said that, and I was like, wow, you know, what an answer. He said, why do you have to have two lives? We all have one life. We add Krishna in our life and everything now we do is spiritual. There is nothing called material life and there is nothing called spiritual life. That's how the answer he gave. He said, you make your children Krishna conscious. When you are feeding them prasadam, what material you are doing? You earn money, but you use your body, money for Krishna's service. You take care of wife and children. You make them also Krishna devotees. You have Krishna in center. Your house is a bhakti kutir. Then where is the question of having a material life and then you balance it with your spiritual life? You have one life and you have Krishna in that life. And I thought that was so beautiful. So if we have our goal destined, okay, this is what I want to do, then things become simple. See, sometimes people are too fanatic. They think that if I simply chant more rounds, I chant 30 rounds, 40 rounds, everything will become okay. It's not like that. You'll have to consciously work on it. When at the fag end of his life, when Srila Prabhupada, you know, was maybe just 76 or 77 when he was like about to leave body. So one night, in the middle of the night, he called his disciples. You know, this is this very famous quote that we hear where he asked them that, how do you think the society will go on, you know, after I leave? So he asked them question, what do you think will keep it moving? And everybody gave so many answers. Somebody said, pure chanting, pure consciousness, complete surrender to Krishna. Everybody gave so many answers, and then Prabhupada said, well, what will keep it running is organization and intelligence. And everybody thought, they never thought Prabhupada will give such practical answer. They thought Prabhupada will say, you know, chant nicely, you know, surrender to Krishna, be obedient, you know, follow the four regulative principles. But he simply said, organization and intelligence, that will keep our movement running. So the same thing in grihastha life also. If somebody thinks, I'll just keep chanting and Krishna will take care of my wife and children, it doesn't work out like that. Organization and intelligence. So yeah, you have to manage your life. You have to manage your household life, right? You have to manage it properly. How you're going to do what, whether it's your finances or whatever, you have to allocate things properly so that you can have a happy vertical relationship with Krishna. So there has to be a proper harmony. So you get your goal together, fix up, plan things, and then it will go in a proper direction. So G for goal, get your goal right. R for respect. Respect what? Respect gender difference. This is very important. You, your wife, or you, your husband, are both different gender, different species, right? So different species, different gender, they have different gender requirements. So one has to be conscious of that. We can't take things at par. I don't know why my wife expects like that. I don't expect like this from her. Yeah, maybe you don't expect because you are a man, you have a different requirement. Or a wife may say, I don't know why he behaved like that. I never do that. Yeah, you never do that because you are a woman. So you have to respect gender differences. You see, we can see that even in our little children. You have a boy, you give him a doll to play, a Barbie doll. You know what he'll do? He'll simply take out the hand and take out the leg and then again try to put it. And then you will, oh my God, that's a Barbie doll. What are you doing with that? And same thing, you give it to your daughter. Oh, she'll just carry like a flower and then she'll feed the Barbie doll. She'll make a plaid. She'll do all sorts of things. So we see that difference. So the boys, they'll never do that. They don't have that much patience to take care of the baby or feed the baby. They just want to see what's there inside. They'll break it apart. So different gender has different requirements. They have different requirements. You know, some people, they like it when it is said in words. You know, I'll give you a simple example. Of course, each point is something which we can have one class, which we can go on elaborating. It's such a huge topic. But what we are trying to do today is just a little, you know, of whatever we can apply in our lives. See, many of the times the husbands think that I'm already working so hard. You know, it's like, go in the morning, come back in the evening. I work so hard. I pay all the installments. I pay all the EMIs, all the loans for the house and the car. And so I'm already sufficiently expressing my love and affection for the wife and children. But after all you're doing, maybe your wife feels that your way of expressing affection would have been if you would have get her a rose, or if you would have take her for Vrindavan Yatra. See, the ideal way of having a Grihastha workshop would be to actually have physically couples sit around here and then, you know, make them talk. But then now since we are on Zoom, we can't do much about it. But out of all the devotees that I have met so far, and all the workshops that I have conducted or I have corresponded through email, I see one of these problems which I see between the couples and I get regularly is the wife's complaining that my husband still feels as if he's a brahmachari. He'll just go off with the brahmacharis on Vrindavan Yatra and he didn't even ask me that I want to come or not. Or he thinks it's okay if I can manage kids at home and he'll go for Kartik Yatra. So these kind of, you know, issues happen. So actually, I could have just give you the list of all the problems, but I thought instead of giving you all the problems, we'll just speak positively of what can be done, and everybody can imply these principles in their own context, wherever whatever is happening in their lives. So respecting gender difference, maybe the wife may require that you put it in words, even if she wants to come or she doesn't want to come. You ask, do you want to come? Do you want to join me for the yatra? Or you express things. They don't like it when you take them for granted. You know, okay, she'll understand or he'll understand. It doesn't work like that. So like that, sometimes you see the men have different requirements. The ladies have different requirements. Usually the men are one, like I've many times told about this, usually the men are one who are more of goal oriented. They focus on the goal, and the women are usually more process oriented. They enjoy the whole process. You know, whatever you do, they want the whole process, and that is what they feel happy about it. See, so you know, like the ladies, when they go out for shopping sari, what they enjoy more than buying the sari is the whole process which is involved in that. That you go and you take out 20, 30 saris, you select, you know, one or two, and then you go to another shop, and then you go to another shop, and they're so happy about it. But if you take your husband with you for shopping, he'll get irritated. He'll say, why do you have to go to so many shops? Why do you have to just pick up something? Let's get going. You know, it's like that. They have a different nature. Ladies have a different nature. So even while you talk, you know, men would prefer it to keep it short. You know, you want to share something, he'll say, okay, keep it short, you know. But women, they would like to elongate it, and they find all the happiness in that, you know. If they've gone for a shopping, they would like to explain the whole thing, how I took a taxi and how that Uber taxi wala was charging me this much, and then I got down, and then And he's already frustrated. He's already frustrated. And then she wants to explain the whole thing. You know, I went to that shop, and then I saw the olive green color, and then I saw the navy blue, and then I saw the yellow color. And this man is already out of impatient. So did you take the yellow sari? No, you know, yellow doesn't suit me. So then I went and I just took the red one, and then I saw the blue one. Okay, so you took the red one? No, but red you don't like, right? So I didn't take the red one. And he's already like, all right, so you took the blue one? No, blue one I took last time, remember, in my sister's marriage. And this guy is already like, yeah, so she'll go on another half an hour explaining the whole process, and by that time this man is already vexed up. Now the whole point is, for him it's like, why can't you finish up in one sentence? Okay, you took the sari, finish it off. But she's like, why can't you hear, you know, what happened? And then finally, how I ended up buying the orange colored sari. So these are the gender differences. So if you understand that gender requirement as a man, what you will do is you'll give a patient hearing. It's okay. You know, you just put your phone aside. You'll put your Bhagavatam aside. Okay, fine. This is your time. You want to say something, and I'm ready to hear. And if you're conscious of gender difference as a wife, you will understand, they don't like it if I make it so long. I can do that with my friends. Okay, I like it. I want to share how I bought that sari, and I'll do it with my friends. I'll call another Mataji in the temple, and I'll tell her, Mataji, this is what happened, and this is what happened. But I'll keep it short with him. I'll tell him, okay, I bought it, Prabhu. I got this sari. Thank you so much. That's about it. So like that, if you recognize each other's, okay, this is what is their requirement, then life will become so happy. So this is one thing. G for goal, R for respecting the gender difference. Of course, we can go on and on. R for respecting gender difference, R for respecting each other's family. Oh, there's So many things we can elaborate, but I've spoken about all this elsewhere in so many other classes, so you can always refer to these classes, and I don't want to bring those points here, but yeah, respecting each other's space, respecting each other's parents, siblings, there's a lot of things, you know. One another famous and most popular complaint that I hear from grihasthas is, Mataji, when my wife's mother comes, she's all excited and all happy, you know, doing all the work. And when my mother comes, she gets headache and health problem and backache, you know. So like that, you know, there is so much things happening. So respect also means you respect each other, you know, in-laws, your relatives, friends, and accept it as your family. So G for goal, R for respect, and I for importance. How much importance to be given to what? It's very important. Even when you go and buy something in a departmental store, there is something called MRP, which is the maximum retail price, and you don't pay more than that. Maximum means you don't pay over above it. So in our life, for every event and every incident that happens in our life, we should keep an MRP for that. We're not going to give it more importance than this. This deserves only this much importance. This particular event deserves only this much time. And you stop it there. And if you can keep this rule in your life, you can be so happy. Right? How much importance to be given to what? Don't make every small thing into battle. Don't make every small thing into a battle between husband and wife. Everything does not need to be a battle. Be selective about your battle. I'm not saying you don't fight. If you don't fight, you're not authentic husband and wife. Some fighting will happen. When you're living together, both of you, there'll be some argument will be there. Some difference of opinion will be there. But be choosy about it. Don't make everything into battle. Okay, some things, yeah, because they're really important. You know, that will disturb your Krishna consciousness. So yeah, you just go out and say, no, this is not going to work, but not everything. So be very choosy about what you want to do, right? And small, small things, give it up. Small, small things, don't mind, you know, just, oh, he does this, he does. If it's not causing you a major disturbance, leave it. I'll tell you one joke. Between a husband and wife, they completed 50 years of marriage. So everybody around the family members and all the relatives and friends had a bash, grand party. So all the old couple are sitting on the stage. So everybody's asking, can you tell what's the secret of your marriage life? You know, how 50 years you both have been such a happy married couple. So the husband said, I'll tell you. Very simple. He said, all the important decisions in life, you know, which are very big decisions, huge and very important, you know, which has a big impact, I take it. And my wife doesn't interfere in that. And whatever are the small, small decisions in life, she takes it and I don't interfere in that. So they were amazed. Oh, how come, you know, that kind of understanding. So one in the crowd got up and said, can you show some example, you know, what are those important decisions, small decisions, so we will have some guidance. He said, very simple. Which school my children are going to study, my wife decides. Which house are we going to buy, my wife decides. What are we going to do with the monthly salary, you know, what I earn, my wife decides. What charity we will give, my wife decides. What gifts we are going to give to our relatives and friends, my wife decides. So when he went on and on, they said, okay, so what do you decide? He said, I talk about important things, something like, well, will Modi should do demonetization or not? I say no, and my wife agrees. She doesn't interfere in that. Well, I say America should not attack Iraq, and my wife agrees. She doesn't interfere in that. So I don't interfere in her small decisions, which are connected to the four walls of our life, and she doesn't interfere in my decision, which are globally important, you know, which has a global impact, and everybody burst out to laughter. Of course, this is a joke, but yeah. So see, what I'm trying to say is his context. Did you get the point? His perspective, you know, actually she's the one who's doing all the decision, but just look at his perspective of looking at things. He feels, oh, these are small decisions just connected to our family. But look, I have independence to think globally, whatever I want to think, and she doesn't interfere in that. So it's all about the context and perspective. So how much importance to be given to what? In small, small things, you should give it up. Don't think so much about it, right? So G for goal, R for respecting gender differences, I for importance, you know, how much to give in what, you know, draw a line somewhere. Don't make fuss about small things. Don't make a hill out of a mole, you know. The next thing is H, Grihastha, H. So H is for being humble. Now, I won't discuss this topic about humble because this is the most talked about topic in ISKCON. Trinadapi sunichena taru rivasahi suna, how you have to be humble, 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 humble. So this is one topic we always, all the time. So here in all ISKCON classes. So what I'll do is H for not only humble, I'll say H for try to be happy, small things in life, and don't wait for big events, you know, of if this happens, only then I have to be happy. No, whatever small things, happy is being grateful. And if you have a grateful heart, then you can have Krishna conscious heart. If you are grateful for everything that's happening in your life, you know, then you can be Krishna conscious. Then you can have good chanting. Then you can progress in your spiritual life. But if you are always grumpy and always having, you know, our thinking is like, even if tomorrow we go to Amravati and, you know, Indra gives us all facilities, we'll say, Indra is nice, Varun and Agni and all the devatas are nice to me, but, and that but will go on, but if that was there, it would have been more comfortable. That's our nature. We keep on postponing our happiness and we are not grateful for whatever is there right now in our hand. So whatever situation Krishna has put us in, we should accept it. The other day only I was telling in one class that bloom where you are planted, the rose or the lotus or the flowers, they don't complain, why have you put me here? If you put me there, I'll bloom better. No, wherever there, they'll bloom there. The lotus doesn't complain, why should I grow in a dirty water? Put me in clean water, I'll come out nicely. In the dirty water also, the lotus will grow. Wherever you are, whatever situation Krishna has put you in, if you have that faith that Krishna is your well-wisher, then you won't complain and you will respect whatever situation Krishna has put you into. Right? So bloom where you are planted, because Krishna is your well-wisher. And wherever he has put, you know, he knows that maybe that is a situation you require to bloom in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes some people who have a spouse who is very sweet and very sweet nature, maybe that's what is required for them to go in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes some people who have this spouse is like, very short-tempered, hot-tempered. Maybe that is what is required for them to be Krishna conscious. Otherwise, maybe they would have not turned to Krishna. So Krishna knows exactly what is required to bring you closer to him. This is one mantra we have to remember. Krishna knows exactly what is required to bring us closer to him. According to that, he plans our life. He thinks if an increment in job is going to help us in Krishna consciousness, he'll do that. He thinks if you are kicked out from the job, that will stimulate your Krishna consciousness, he'll do that. Because you are not sure about your biggest challenge, but Krishna knows his whole priority is how to get you back home, back to Godhead. And for that, he'll go to any extent. And he'll make and plan your life in such a way that you'll somehow be stimulated to come back to him. I'm not saying he's a sadistic God who'll try to trouble you so that you somehow come back. No, I'm not trying to say that. He'll just make ways and paths by which you will realize that what is your original position? Where are you supposed to go? Where do you belong to? So he'll just stimulate that in you, or he'll just bring you into that consciousness. So if you can just have that faith, yeah, Krishna knows. If you respect Krishna, you'll respect the situation Krishna has put you into. You'll have full faith. Yeah, Krishna is my well-wisher and he has put me in this place. If somebody can have firm faith on that one line, the whole direction of their life will change. Because now everything will become a love affair. Whatever has happened, this is Krishna's plan. He is doing it because he loves me. This happened with me because Krishna is doing it because he loves me. This is what he wants. He wants that I should get closer to him, and he is planning it. See, if everybody plans their life, if things happen in your life the way you plan them, you should be happy. But if things don't happen the way you plan them, then you know they're happening according to Krishna's plan. Because there's no third person in this world. Because Krishna has given us that minute independence. So either things are happening according to our plan, or they're happening according to Krishna's plan. If they're happening according to our plan, we should be happy. If they're happening according to Krishna's plan, we should be happier. Because our intelligence is limited. Krishna's intelligence is larger. So he wishes well for us. So definitely he's planned something nice for us. So that faith we should have for Krishna. So G for goal, R for respecting gender differences, I for importance, and H for being grateful. Grateful in whatever situation Krishna has put you into. One should be grateful that we have a life partner. You know, the army, when they go out in war, you know, when you are in a battle, you can go and shoot. You know, you can shoot to the other side enemies. But you know, what would be very safe to do? Like in the army, they have those bunkers. I don't know. I think they're made up of cement bags, or I don't know what. They have lots of bags, cement bags. And then they go behind there, and from there they shoot. Have you seen that? I mean, I've just seen it in Bollywood movies. But otherwise, sandbags. There's some kind of sandbags. So I tell you, it's such a protection, right? Because they're not going out like this, you know. They're just protecting their body. And then between those sandbags, they are shooting. Grihastha life is something like that. Actually, for brahmacharis and sannyasis, it's more like they are just like that without any armor in the battlefield with maya. But for grihasthas, they are behind those sandbags. Those sandbags is their wife and children. So how do you say that? Well, they're protected that way from maya. How? Well, because they're satisfied. They don't get attracted to here and there. You know, they're more protected because now they have gone through the household life. They know what are the issues. They know what are the problems. So one way, they are into regulated life. So they're more protected. So now they know what kind of weapons Maya uses, and they already gone through the experience, and now they are going and fighting, right? So it's like a shield, you know. And the other thing is, you see, when you are alone, others can't understand what's happening with you, okay? Because they can't come inside you and see what's happening. But when you are with family, you are grihastha. You have a 24/7 policeman with you who's always checking you. Hey, you didn't chant your rounds. I've seen that, okay? Whether you're following Ekadashi or not, whether you're chanting or not, what time you're getting up, are you reading Bhagavatam or not? Everything, you have a 24/7 policeman for each other. The husband does that for wife, and the wife does that for husband. And then both of them are afraid because, you know, either of them doesn't do it properly, they'll complain to the Siksha Guru or mentor or counselor or... So they're afraid, you know. So it's like a 24/7, you have somebody, you know. So that's why I use this analogy of, you know, you have a sand, you know, sandbags, and then you are facing Maya. Because even if you want to get drifted, you know, your husband won't allow you to do it, or your wife won't allow you to do it, you know, you're protected. But if you are all alone, oh, it's risky life. Everything is based on your own willpower because nobody knows what you are doing. You are alone. Nobody's checking you 24 hours on your own. You have to check yourself whether you're going up or down, or your consciousness is getting degraded, upgraded. Everything is your own risk, at your own risk, right? But householder life is such a boon, such a boon. You have a partner in Krishna consciousness. Because this journey is quite long, back home, back to Godhead. And you have somebody to share this journey with you, right? When you are going down in Krishna consciousness, you have somebody telling you, Prabhu, you are drowsing while doing your rounds. You have somebody telling you, okay, come on, I didn't see you reading Bhagavatam last 2 days. What's happening? You're getting too busy with your phone and WhatsApp. Just put your phone down. So you're just helping each other, right? You see, once what happened, on a certain day, there was this one man. He was coming out from an apartment and he was laughing loud. So somebody said, "What happened? You look like very happy." He said, "You know what? I've locked up my wife inside a room." I said, "What's so happy about it?" "No, I'll tell you what. I've locked her up in a room with 50 saris." I said, "What's so happy about it?" "With 50 matching blouses, with 50 sets of different ornaments, makeups, sandals." I said, what's so happy about it? And then he said, "Listen, let me complete. And you know what? I've done everything, but you know what? There is no mirror inside that room. There is no mirror inside that room. So now you can imagine what will happen to her, and I'm going to come back in the evening." So he was so happy about it. Now why? Because even she has 50 sets of saris or 50 sets of matching blouses or makeup and all, but if there is no mirror, definitely she's not going to enjoy it. What will she do? How will she know? How is she looking? Right? Now this is with our life. We may have everything, but if we don't have mirror, who is going to tell us how we look? And husband and wife are like each other's mirror. They'll tell you exactly how you are. Even if the whole world goes gaga about you and praises you, you may be a celebrity for the whole world. But in front of your wife, you are nothing. She'll tell you exactly whatever she wants to say. Or in front of your husband, you are nothing. He'll tell you exactly what you are. You know, so where will you get that mirror from? Who tells you your real picture? He'll not praise you, or he will not, you know, try to glorify you. He'll tell you the truth. Okay, this is what you are. Or she will tell you the truth. So one should be so grateful that we have somebody in our life, a mirror, who can show us a true picture. Right? So, many times devotees, you know, when I give classes on self-introspection, they ask me, "So, how do we do it, Mataji? Like, how do you do introspection? How do you know where you're making mistake?" I tell them, "Don't worry so much about it. Just go and ask your wife or go and ask your husband, what are my faults?" No need of introspection. They'll tell you completely, whole big list which you never knew about yourself. They'll tell you, "What are the faults in you? What do you do?" Because you see, two people living together day in and day out, you can clearly see each other, right? Where you're going wrong. The world doesn't know about it. But yeah, both of you can help each other. So that is one thing. Being grateful. Okay. So we got G-R-I-H. A for adjusting. You have to adjust with each other. That's very important. See, I remember many years ago when I was traveling from Visakhapatnam to Howrah in a train, in a compartment. Just opposite of our side, there was this small little boy sitting and he was trying to adjust the window panes, you know. Those of you who have been to India, you know very well the Indian trains. Oh, the fan won't work, the windows won't go up and down, all sorts of things, the tube light won't work. And this boy was going on trying to, you know, get the window pane up, but it was not going up. So, you know, after drinking those cool drinks, you know, he put an empty bottle, he put a cardboard, put some newspaper, nothing was working. Whole day he tried. Next day morning, somehow, you know, he managed to fix it and the window opened. Now, you know, nowadays, of course, children don't have that craze of window seat. But when we were young, window seat was a big excitement for us. Sitting in the train means window seat. Who will get the window seat? Now this boy, by the time he adjusted and now the window was finally open and he was able to see outside, it was time to get down. So his father said, "It's time to get down. Howrah has come. Let's go." And now he was crying. "No, I've opened the window. I want to see now." The father said, "No, now we have to go. Time has come." And I was just wondering that this is what is happening with us. Whole life we are going on trying to adjust this, adjust that, make this person correct, try to ask him to change his nature, don't talk like that, don't walk like that, don't wear this cloth, don't speak like this, and just trying to, you know, modify each other, and by that time it's already time to go. So why not just accept whatever way they are and just get going, you know, just accept and adjust, you know. So that is one mantra if you want to have a happy grihastha life. Adjust with whatever situation you have been put into. And everything is a passing phase. Everything is a passing phase. Don't worry so much about it. What today is your source of happiness will not be your source of happiness tomorrow. I remember when I was very young, my brother had gone to Germany and he brought an eraser for me. You know, I was so excited about that eraser. I kept it in my compass box. I never used it for erasing. For erasing, I bought a Nataraj rubber. I used to use that. And that was only for showing it to my friends that this is from Germany and my brother bought it for me. And I kept it and I kept it and I was so possessive about it. Nobody can touch it. It is always there in my compass box, you know. And that was the greatest source of happiness. And I thought I'll never part it with it for the rest of my life. But believe me, I don't know now where is that eraser. It's over. It's gone. You know, that time it was very important. That was a source of my happiness, but not anymore. So like that, if you look back in your life, 10 years back, 15 years back, what was your source of happiness is not your source of happiness anymore. And what is the source of your happiness today will not be the source of your happiness tomorrow. So don't get too worked up about it. Everything is just a passing phase, you know. Whatever you get, be happy, forget it, move on, you know. Don't make a big thing about it, right? So A for adjust, just whatever you get. S for serving. Serving selflessly. If you love, then you serve. That's the mantra. If you say, I love somebody, but I don't serve them, then that's not love. Love means serve. Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada Muni says, loving means serve. Even for the word bhakti, Narada Muni gives a translation, bhakti means devotional service. He doesn't say bhakti means devotion, bhakti means love. He says bhakti means devotional service. And I thought that service part of it is very important. We love Krishna, we serve him. We love our family, we serve them. Serve. Loving means serve. You can't say I love somebody but I don't do anything for you. So as a husband and wife, if you love each other, you have to serve each other. You have to sufficiently invest in each other. Invest your time, invest your service, invest your emotion. Then it will be successful. You have to deposit. You can't keep withdrawing. Right? You have an ATM card and if you keep on withdrawing, after some time what will happen? It will deny payment. There is nothing is there, sir. You go and first deposit. So you can't, you know, keep on swiping your card. You'll have to deposit also. So just don't keep expecting from the other side. You know, you also make a certain deposit. So when you serve, you know, if you love, then you serve. So G for goal, R for respecting the gender, I for giving the importance that much as is required, H for being humble or happy or grateful, A for adjust, and S for serving. Very important that you serve. See, the whole point is nowadays, the marriage has become like, I want to get married. Now, you know, you ask somebody, it's a question, why do you want to get married? The answer will be, I want to be happy. Is it not? Am I just making sense? Why do you want to get married? I want to be happy. Oh, so that means marriage will give you happiness? See, that whole thing is wrong, where you are expecting that if I get married to this person will give me happiness. You got my point? We are thinking that this person is a source of my happiness. Source of your happiness is Krishna. Nobody else can give you happiness. Source of your happiness is Krishna. Source of your happiness is your relationship with Krishna. Source of your happiness is your devotional service. That person is not source of your happiness. So then why should I get married, Mataji? Okay, so I'll tell you. You are happy because you have a beautiful relationship with Krishna and you want to get married because now you want to share your happiness with this other person. You want to include this other person in your happiness. And if you get married with that intention in your mind, you'll be so happy. I have something and I don't want to enjoy it alone. I want to share it with you. That will make me happy. But if I think she'll make me happy, he'll make me happy, that's a problem. Because it can't make you happy. Nobody can make us happy. Because they don't have also. We are all drawing it from Krishna. So don't misunderstand the source where you're getting things from. You know, if you're trying to get water from glass, you may get it. After two sips, it'll be over. Reservoir of pleasure, go to Krishna, right? So from where is this water coming in the glass? It's coming from the tap. That tap is Krishna. That water body is Krishna. That ocean is Krishna from where the water is coming. The problem nowadays is it's become exploitative relationships. If I get married to him, I'll try to squeeze happiness out of him. I'll try to squeeze happiness out of her. So both have become beggars. You make me happy. No, you make me happy. Both are not happy. But if both become givers, king, I'm happy and I want to give you happiness. I'm going to share my happiness with you. It's about the other person. Then both will be happy. And then something really wonderful will happen. Because both are happy. They're very happy individually. And now they're sharing their happiness. But if you are in misery, and now you think that the other person will come and make you happy, nothing will happen. You'll only multiply your misery. You are misery and you'll make other person also miserable. Miserable. Right? That is one thing very important. Right? You understand what is the source of your happiness. Source of your happiness is Krishna consciousness. Nothing else can bring you happiness. But now you want to share that happiness with others, and that's why you get married. Because now you want together serve Krishna. See, sacrifice, serving, all starts with S, is required. You know, when two things are welded together, when welding happens, you can't weld something just like that. I'll have to take out something from here, I'll have to take out something from here, and then they will be welded together. When two lives are getting welded together, something you'll have to give up. Something you'll have to give up. Something you'll have to surrender. Then only the marriage becomes successful. So you have to be ready to do that when you get into a relationship, when you get into a marriage. You are ready to sacrifice something of yours, then marriage becomes successful. So now we come to T. T for tolerate. Tolerate. One should learn to tolerate. One should learn to be patient. One should learn to forget and forgive. Life is not what we plan. Life is what happens. It happens. You may plan so many things. Man propose, God dispose. So many things you will plan in your life, but it will not happen according to your plan. So you should learn to tolerate, because life is not linear. I did this and this is a result. No, there's so many factors involved in this. Your present endeavor, Krishna's mercy, previous life baggage is equal to today's result. If that much is clear, you will not be unhappy about any situation in your life. That everything is a mixture of so many things. It's not a simple formula. It's a combination. So one should learn to tolerate. So I always mention this, one of my very favorite sloka in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, is about Brahma Stuti, you know, where Brahma is telling to Krishna. He says, Tattenu kampa susamikshamano bhunjana evatma. So he says, Tattenu kampa susamikshamano. If somebody tolerates, you know, they become Krishna's favorite. Tattenu kampa susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kitam vipakam. And hid vag vapu bhi hrid is hruday, from your heart. Vag is talking. Vapu bhi is body. Vidadhan namaste jivve tu yo mukta sa dayabhak. So he said, if somebody tolerates, thinking that whatever is happening with me, it's my previous life karma, and they tolerate it, and as they are tolerating it with their heart, with their mind, body, words, they pay obeisances to you and they patiently wait for your mercy to come upon them, such kind of a devotee becomes the rightful recipient of your mercy, my Lord, is what Brahma is telling to Krishna. And I thought that is so beautiful. As a devotee, whatever happens in our life, we should remember this. Oh, this is happening because of my previous karma. So I just surrender to the Lord and I wait patiently for His mercy. And if somebody does that, they become rightful, heir for a rightful recipient of Krishna's mercy. So tolerate, be patient, forget and forgive. You have to tolerate each other. it's not easy to stay with another human being in the same space every single day. You share your room, you share your restroom, you share your money, food, clothes, everything. It's you know, I many times, you know, I do, some other day one devotee said that I can love my dog, I can love I love animals, I love this, but it's so difficult to tolerate my husband or tolerate my wife. And now I was just telling them, he said, she said, birds are so harmless. That was her argument. Mataji, birds are so harmless, so beautiful, so nice. I said, they're not harmless, beautiful. Put them in your bedroom for 3 days and stay. Then you'll understand. See, you see, when they go to Vrindavan, you see those peacocks, you know, they look so beautiful. You get a peacock inside your bedroom and keep it for 3 days. You'll hate peacocks because it'll shit around everywhere, make loud noises. Then you'll not like it anymore. Now you like it because it doesn't come into your space. Somewhere far off, it is dancing. So it is so sweet, so beautiful, you'll feel. But if it actually comes into your space, you don't like. The problem is our own false ego. We don't like anybody who steps in our boundary. Anybody from far is nice. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna. But they step in your boundary, then you don't like it. Forget about birds. Forget about humans. Even if tomorrow your Laddu Gopal starts eating all the offerings you are making, it will be a problem. Then you will think two times, you know, my God, you know, two burgers, you know, pasta and... he ate up the whole thing, you know. Who's going to cook again? I'm already getting late for the office. So we are comfortable because we know whatever we offered, we'll get back everything. Nothing is going to eat. You are only going to eat, so you're so happy. Otherwise, you'll start getting problem with your deities also. You know, my God, my deities eat a lot, you know. So you understand, I'm saying, because of false ego, actually we are very selfish and self-centered. We are, whatever we do, basically we do it for our own entertainment. Actually, we want to be happy. There's nobody in this world we love. We want somehow everybody around us should work in such a way that our senses are satisfied. Then we become very happy. So one should learn to tolerate. One should learn to tolerate. One should learn to forget and forgive. It's not that, you know, this situation in my life is a problem. Tomorrow I'll become very happy. The moment you are born in this material world, your problem has started. Small infants also, there is problem. Is there a problem? Very big problem, right? They'll get up in the middle of the night. Somehow you have to take care. Infants is problem. For them also, it's problem. Poor children, they don't want to take any more milk and you are forcing them, you know. Their stomach is full, but they can't speak, you know. Infancy is a problem. Toddler age also problem. So much itching in the teeth. They want to just bite everything, you know. That's a problem. Whether you say student life is a problem, so many exams, projects and all. Teenage life is a problem. You get attracted to somebody, this happened, that happened. So many things are getting in your hormones are having problem. Okay, fine, you get married, problem. Okay, you are in middle age, problem. With your children and managing the properties, problem. Okay, old age, problem. Knee pain, back pain, problem. Okay, you are dead. Still, your funeral also problem. If you're in a city like Bombay, dead body has to wait for 5 hours in traffic jam just to get burnt. You're still having problem. Even you become a dead corpse, you are still in problem. You have to wait in the traffic for your time to come. You understand? There'll be always problem. You can never say in this stage of my life, there'll be no problem. There's always a problem. What you have to do is tolerate. That's it. T for tolerate. Just tolerate. That's it. Everything will pass, right? We come to the last word, last letter of our acronym, A for assumptions. Don't make assumptions. Kindly communicate. So many problems are happening in grihastha life because of lack of communications and making wrong assumptions. That's very important. I remember many years ago, I was traveling from Visakhapatnam to Coimbatore. Now, the great attraction that I have for these travels is that nobody will be there. I can read book. Somehow, I don't know my fortune or misfortune. Every time, because whenever I'm traveling, maybe I'm a lady, they somehow will put me with some other lady who has a little baby. And I always end up having those co-passengers with, baby crying, and my whole flight journey will be, disaster. Though I'll be thinking, I'll read this, I'll complete this. It never happens. This particular journey, I was traveling and there was this young couple. So I was sitting here, and the wife and the husband and a little baby. Now, the flight was not completely booked. So after 15 minutes, they spoke with the air hostess, and the lady, she went back and sat and she slept. Now, I remember I was reading this Bhurijan Prabhu's My Glorious Master. Now, this little baby, the little child was little naughty, so she was just pushing my book and pulling over my book. And I was like, I just kept the book. I said, I can't read anymore. Now, what I observed, the whole journey that we had, it was via Hyderabad, I think 2.5-3 hours journey. The lady slept and slept comfortably, and this man was alone struggling and taking care of the child. And even if the child is, trying to call the mother for something, immediately he'll try to drive the attention of the child somewhere else. Hey, look here, look this, look that, this toy, that toy. Kept on, for all 3 hours, he took care of the child so nicely without disturbing the wife. And she, and even if he used to make a little noise, she used to just, open her eyes and give such a stare, as if, how can you even disturb, And I thought, oh my God, At one point of time, I was like, wow, she's really lucky, And then at the end of the journey, when it was time to deplane, I got up, she got up, I was taking out my laptop. So now finally, I was just saying bye to the baby. So I just looked at this and I said that, Hare Krishna, you are a wonderful father. And he replied so nicely to me. He said, yes, I'm a wonderful father. But this wonderful mother hasn't slept for 3 days, hasn't slept for 3 whole days. So then his wife started talking, and she said that my son had high fever. So 3 nights and 3 days I haven't slept. I was just taking care of him, completely. So now while they're, going, she took rest and he took care. Now when I was, getting down the plane, I thought, oh my God, so many wrong assumptions I made. I thought, my God, this, what kind of lady? The man is struggling, she's not helping, she's nicely taking rest. I made so many wrong assumptions. It was other way around actually. She's a good mother. It's just that she was taking rest. This is very important. Sometimes we just make wrong assumptions, and that happens because of lack of communication. So in grihastha life, if you want to have a happy marriage life, this is one mantra. Don't make assumptions. Don't become judge immediately of something. Don't start judging. Give space, time, talk and communicate. Yeah, this is what I feel, Prabhu. This is what I feel, Is it correct? Is this what happened? Talk about it. Talk about it. Where there is communication, there is no complication. Otherwise, relationships become very complicated. If you think, why should I tell? He should understand. We haven't married mystic yogi. We have married bhakti yogi. He's not a mystic yogi. He can't understand what you want. Express it. Express it to him. Just 2 days ago, we were all taking prasadam together. So I was telling my husband, Prabhu, we are completing 25 years of marriage. So on this September 25th, definitely you owe me a gift. So my husband said, definitely, but you'll have to remind me. You'll have to remind me. So usually last many years, we never wish each other because somehow life has passed like that. Somehow it always comes after Radhashmi and we are somewhere on yatra with congregation. And it hasn't been such an important thing for us to wish each other. But this is 25 years completing. So I told him, definitely you owe me a gift. And he said, you have to remind me, otherwise I'll forget. So my younger son, he was laughing. He said, Dad, if she has to remind you, what's the point of giving the gift? If she has to remind you, then what's the point? So I just corrected him. I said, that's all right. That's all right. I accept it. He'll forget. I accept it. So if I need it, I have to remind it. See, I'll tell you what happens. This kind of, I've seen many cases with husband and wife. The husband doesn't wish anniversary. Now this lady, she knows from morning it's anniversary, but she'll also not remind him. She'll wait till night. In the night at 10 o'clock, now she'll say tauntingly, so you forgot, no? No. And then there'll be a big fighting. Now, my simple question, you want, he should wish, correct? And you know, from morning he has forgotten. So now in the night, when you fight that you What did you get out of it? Instead, when you know he has forgotten, in the morning only you remind him, Prabhu, you forgot, today is our anniversary. So at least now you gave him a time to make it up for you. Maybe by evening he'll wish you or he'll, whatever, you expect something or get you something, pizza from Govinda's, or get you some special book from ISKCON stall. Whatever it is, he'll make it up for you. But did you even give him that time? No, you just wanted to prove something and you waited till night to taunt him. This is where relationships get so ugly. Why? I don't understand why that ego. Why can't he remember himself? Why can't you express, this is my expectation. Prabhu, I'm expecting that you will give me some. Prabhu, I'm expecting you will wish me. So do we become very small by doing that? That means it's just our false ego which we want to nourish and nurture. Why can't he remember? Why can't he? I've seen this one thing. When I grew up, you know, with my mother and father, how much they have learned to accept each other the way they are. And I think that makes the relationship so beautiful. When my father walks in, you know, in the evening, the moment he takes out the slipper, my mother will tell exactly, he's not in a good mood, huh? Don't ask today this, he'll say. And I wonder, how does she even know just the way he takes out the slipper? And my father sometimes comes in, you know, he's just come in and he'll say, looks like she, you know, she's grumpy. What happened today? They haven't even spoken, but he will tell exactly, hey, she looks grumpy. What happened today? Huh? Something happened. Huh? Somebody called. They understand. My father is talking on the phone also. You know, my mother, she'll exactly put the right kind of vegetable, right amount, you know. And I'll tell her, you didn't ask him. And she'll say, this much he will eat, I know. This much he will eat, I know. Okay. If my father is going to come late or not, that my mother will tell exactly. And she'll accept it. You know, if I go for a party or we are going for a marriage or something, you know, my mother will exactly predict. He will forget. He will definitely come late. Just see, he'll come half an hour late. And what I feel sweet about it is, there's no complaint. She's accepted it. He'll come late. He'll forget. He's like that. And they're so happy about it. They have accepted each other as they are. And that makes their marriage so beautiful. Why can't we just accept each other? Why are we in the whole process of becoming Brahma? We are not creators. Brahma has already done the creation job. Why do we want to become a secondary creator and do all that, you know, changes in the default settings? Just leave it as it is. Just accept it. That will make things more easier, actually. If you just accept the person as they are. He's like that, he'll forget. I'll remind him. He's like this. She's like that. That's about it. She talks like that only. She's good in heart, but that's her language. They say he's like this, but this is how he behaves. That's about it, right? Give 99% for intention and 1% for presentation. You know their intention is not like that, but this is how he talks. This is how he expresses. This is how he behaves. Just accept. So that's about it. These are the fundamentals. We speak about Goloka Vrindavan. We speak about Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorivas Sahisuna. We talk about anarthas. We talk about so many things. But unless and until we get the fundamental basic things right with the people whom we are living in 24 hours, day in and day out, and we're not able to tolerate them, we're not able to adjust with them, how will we go back home, back to Godhead? So we need to get our fundamentals right. And then, we can actually think about this goal of going back home, back to Krishna. So with this, I end my class today. I think I just spent a little over time. Thank you so much, devotees. Thank you very much. We'll end it here. I just hope that this helps you in your grihastha life and bringing all of us more closer to Krishna. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, now this is a big, okay, your question is how to deal with the husband who is not a devotee. Now, whether your husband is a devotee or he's not a devotee, the same rules apply. And if your husband is not a devotee, you serve him all the more, give him Krishna conscious, Krishna prasadam, and the duties are still same, doesn't make any difference. So only thing is that with devotee husbands, it will become more easier because both of you have the same goal of being of Krishna in center. But now since one of the spouse is not Krishna conscious, you can still continue your devotional life in whatever way possible, limited way possible, maybe chanting of your rounds, offering of prasadam, and slowly try to bring him into Krishna consciousness with your dedication, with your service, with your patience, with your own behavior. I've seen many times when one of the spouse has exemplary behavior and they become all the more tolerant and patient after coming into Krishna consciousness, that inspires the other spouse also to take up Krishna consciousness. When he sees that positive change in you, when he sees that you've become such a sweet human being after becoming a devotee, they get inspired. But usually I see that it becomes other way around because if one spouse is Krishna conscious, they start trying to impose things on the other spouse and they do it immaturely and hurry it up, and that makes the other spouse more averse to Krishna consciousness. So it should be done in a proper and a balanced way that should inspire the other person to take into Krishna consciousness. We should not make it look very, what you say, what you say, that I'm very special or I'm better than you. That kind of feeling you should not bring in. Though we understand that we are Krishna consciousness and we have taken up the right path, we are doing the right things, but we should not bring it up consciously in our body language and behavior. That will put off the other person. So it has to be done very, very delicately. So we have to very slowly and carefully we have to go about it. You have to do, see, like I remember how Raghunath Das Thakur was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he said that, "I want to renounce everything." So he said that, no, you should do. And I remember what was that letter which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote to Rupa and Sanatan. He said about a lady who has a paramour. She becomes all the more obedient to husband. So something like when we love Krishna, then we should become all the more obedient to husband so that he has no reason to complain. Otherwise, what will happen? Since now we have brought up Krishna between you and him, now if any one mistake done, he'll put it on Krishna. He'll say that you were nice, but see, now you don't talk to me nicely. Now you don't share with me this. Now you don't come with me there because now you have become Krishna conscious. So like that, they become averse. Something like, when you have a second baby, you have to deal so carefully psychologically with the first baby because now you have brought the second baby in, and if you start giving too much importance, they start feeling, mother used to take care of me so nicely. Have you heard that experience? Mother used to take care of me so nicely. Now her whole world is around this baby only. So I have seen sometimes psychological cases where the elder baby sometimes tries to harm the second baby because they become so, why my mother is becoming so attached to this baby? Now my importance is not there. So the mothers have to maintain such a fine balance where they show that no, I love both of them equally. So same thing you have to do because now you have bought a new thing in your life where your husband is not Krishna conscious, but you are Krishna conscious. So now you have to deal very carefully where he should not feel that all the love and affection and attention that I deserve, now she has given it to Krishna. So this Krishna is something who has come between me and her. Otherwise, we were very happy marriage life. Now he has come between. So don't bring it to that extent. Handle it in such a way that together you both love Krishna. It's not that Krishna is alone yours and he is averse to it. So do it very carefully, slowly. Don't hurry up immaturely on anything. Very slowly you go about it. And serve nicely. Serving husband is one way of, what do you say, winning his heart. Yeah.
Question is from Radha Radhika Mataji. Mataji, you can unmute and ask your question.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Mataji, I just wanted to ask, sometimes in your grihastha life, some problem may arise. Your life may become so hectic that you cannot continue with your sadhana very, smoothly. So in that case, what we should do? Shall we think more about our sadhana, or shall we think more about being a grihastha? First, we have to look after our family. So I'm in this dilemma. Please help me, Mataji.
Okay, so your question is that sometimes the grihastha life duties are so overwhelming that what to do, whether it should be given, sadhana should be given priority or grihastha duties. I think Bhakti Vinod Thakur gives a very good answer. Bhakti Vinod Thakur gives a very good answer for that. He said 8-8-8. So 8 hours for sadhana, 8 hours for your body, 8 hours for family. Everybody should maintain that balance. That's a healthy balance. So you take 8 hours for your spiritual life, for your soul, 8 hours for family, and 8 hours for body. So if you can maintain that balance, everything will be fine. You have to plan it out in such a way. There is nobody is asking you to give priority to something and ignore something. Equally balance everything. Plan out your whole 24 hours. What time you're getting up in the morning, what time you are sleeping. Plan the wheel of your life. Give right time for your health, right time for your body, right time for your sadhana. So in health and body, I'm including your family life also. So plan it. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So you have to plan it. You have to put it in paper. Mind is very badmash. Mind will always try to tell you, look, you want to chant actually, but you have no time. What can you do? Poor thing, you're getting tired. So we should not get carried away by the talk of the mind. You should document it, write it down, sit and write down what time you're getting up. And then when you actually sit and write down, you'll understand, yeah, there are lots of gaps where I could actually, you know, put this or include this, you know. I don't know, personally, I've seen with many of the devotees, they come up to me with this complaint, I don't have time. But when I actually sit with them and I tell them, write it down for me just now, what time you get up and then what time you go where. And then when in front of me, I don't give any advice. But when they write, then they say, yeah, actually I have time here. Actually, I can have time here. And they understand by themselves and they walk away. This is what they do. So that's it. Just sit and write down. Just see your timings and you will actually understand. Yes, there is something you could do. See, because you know your time schedule. I don't know. So how I can just tell you the principle, but the details you'll have to work out. So this is the principle. 8-8-8. How you'll manage it? You make your timetable and you manage it. Where there is a will, there is a way. Yeah, you can go with the next question. I could not understand your first part. Second part about accepting with grudging. All right, even if it's accepting with grudging, just go about it. We have better things to do, is my whole point. I'm not saying that you'll be able to accept everything happily. You know, every day you have your husband putting wet towel on your bed, it'll be irritating. But it takes 2 minutes, you go and write yourself. Now saying that, you know, so many other questions will add to this. If you do that once, then he'll continue with other habits. So many things will happen. But the whole point is, what's your priority in life? If your priority is going back to Krishna, certain things you'll have to give up, and certain things like I want to change this person, that charity works you'll have to stop. This is charity work, right? Trying to help somebody with their nature, trying to help somebody with their bad habits, trying to improve somebody. This is all charity. All that charity we'll have to stop. We'll have to be a little bit self-centered and get on with our business of Krishna consciousness. And yeah, in that process, maybe we are spoiling people. Because we're not telling them, we're not instructing them that you're going wrong, and we're just accepting it and finishing it up. But yeah, what's your priority? The whole point is, if the house is burning, you know, in the burning house, and you see one hole, which is, you know, way to escape, and you take a ladder and you're just trying to escape. Now in that process, there will be so many people who may make comments. Hey, how come you're just going in a blue t-shirt? You know, the t-shirt is not looking good. All right, it's a blue t-shirt or a yellow t-shirt. I don't care. The house is burning. I just need to climb the ladder and get out from this place. You don't come down and say, oh, really, I'm not looking good. Shall I change the t-shirt? At that moment, you're not worried about changing t-shirt. The house is burning. You need to get out. That's a situation with us, actually. We are in this Kali Yuga and everything is burning around us. So we have to somehow get out. So the whole, of course, we can't become like Jada Bharat. Ideal would be to become like Jada Bharat. How Jada Bharat is not bothered about who is saying what. I don't want to commit any sinful activities. I want to be Krishna conscious, take Krishna Prasad and chant and japa and go back. We can't go to that level, but to whatever level possible, better we do that. Let's prioritize. Our priority is going back to Krishna. Let's keep that in focus and let's get going, you know. We can't change people, and yeah, even if we have to grudgingly accept it, oh, it's all right, you know. It's all right. With more maturity, one is the acceptance may come also without grudge. The whole point is, if you are in love with Krishna, rest everything becomes so, you know, like many times I give this example, you are in a good mood, you got promotion in the office, your salary is raised. That day when you come back home, whole world looks so different. That day, even if your house maid, you know, your domestic help breaks a crockery also, somehow you know, you're so much happy that nothing can make you angry. And everybody around you will understand Mama is in very good mood. You can ask anything she wants to. Everything looks so beautiful. This is what happens when you are in connection with Krishna. Your goal is clear and you are in a hurry to go back home, back to Godhead. Everything becomes so small. Then everything will become, it's okay. It's okay. Let me just accept, get done, finish, you know. The whole point is if you think you are permanent, and if you think, yeah, I'm here to stay, then everything becomes very important. How can I tolerate he's doing like this? He's always been doing. He's taking advantage of me. Just because I'm nice to him, he keeps repeating like that. He will keep on doing. Again, saying all and all this, I'm not trying to say that you become, you know, like Gandhi said, he slaps me here, I show my other cheek. It's not, it's being intelligent. Like I said, everything doesn't need to be a battle. You select your battle. Yeah, some things, yeah, you'll have to put it straight. No, this I'm not going to accept. So whatever I'm saying, don't take anything as absolute. It's all based on time, situation and circumstance. I'm just giving out some general principles and you see where you can apply it. You apply it. Where you think, no, this is going to hamper my Krishna consciousness. No, something like your husband brings some chicken soup at home and then you say, but Mataji said, accept, you know, just act. No, not like that. Yeah, certain things you speak out, like Narad Muni said to the snake. Narad Muni said, you know, you shouldn't bite. But the next time Narad Muni came, the snake was beaten and beaten by the villagers. And the snake said, but Guruji, you told me that don't bite. So see, you know, what happened to me? Everybody's throwing stones on me. And Narad Muni said, I told you don't bite, but you can hiss. You can hiss. That's not a problem. You should hiss. So like that, you know, these are general principles, but based on your custom situation where you are put into, you figure it out how you will do it, what you will do it. But these are the general principles. If when followed and implemented in your life, you can reasonably have a Krishna conscious, happy married life, or I can say if not happy, reasonably good married life. Like I always say, nobody can be 100% perfect marriage life, but at least reasonably good, which is not disturbing in your Krishna consciousness. And, you know, so like that, you'll have to customize it to yourself, where, how it is applicable, what is applicable. Like just now, one Mataji said, husband is not following four rules. What should I do? Is everybody is, you know, in a different situation, different circumstances. So you have to make it according to, don't take it like an absolute, you know, just see how much you can implement and balance. But these are the general principles. Okay, so your complaint is that sometimes, no, you can't make a general statement, you can't make a blanket statement, because I've seen many men complain that, you know, I'm more respectful to my wife's parents, but she's not respectful. So I always tell them that, look, familiarity breeds contempt, you know, she's always staying with your parents regularly, right? So they see fault of each other. So maybe there may be less this, but you are seeing her parents once in a while. So, okay, now you're coming to your specific problem. Yeah, there are also cases where the husband is not respectful to the wife's parents. So what do you do about it? Yeah, so you communicate, you talk across the table, both of you talk to each other, you express to him that, Prabhu, I don't like it when you speak like this about my parents, and I expect that you can, you know, you can be nice to them. This is what I'm expecting. This will make me happy. So this is something like, you know, whatever is the behavior which you like, you appreciate that behavior, then it will be repeated. So, you know, whenever he's at least making one good move, then you appreciate it. Prabhu, I'm so happy. Today you spoke like this, or you called my mother, or this is what you said. It made me so happy. So when you give like this response, you know, response back, maybe it'll encourage him. See, basically it boils down to, if you both are having good relationship, you're very happy with each other, there are no such issues, and the issues are coming because of other things, you can always communicate, have an open talk. Prabhu, I'm very happy. Prabhu, you are taking care of me so nicely. I'm so happy with our marriage life, but you know, this thing puts me off. Prabhu, this happens, then I don't like it. Prabhu, do you think it's possible that can you put a nice word to my mother, or can you behave like this? This will make me happy. Just try openly and communicate and see. If that also doesn't work out, we can think about it. Just try and talk to him. Also, before you make a withdrawal, deposit a lot. So if you deposit, then you can make a withdrawal. So when you ask something like that, before that, you make sure that you give lots of love and affection to his parents, and you are a good wife otherwise, and you are not giving him much scope for complaining. And then you come up with a request, you know, where you tell him that, look, I'm doing this, and can you also reciprocate this way? I'll feel very happy if you do this, Prabhu. Or if that doesn't work, then you make an agreement with him. Okay, you do this and I do that. You see, there are different levels, you know, like you said, sama, danda, bheda, whatever, you know, the different ways. So first you try it with lots of love and affection, you know, by you going out of your way to please him, be obedient, be nice. And then, you know, just tell him, Prabhu, this is what I expect. If that doesn't work, then you make an agreement. Okay, you behave like this and I'll also behave like this. Let us both behave, you know, nicely with each other's parents, you know. And then, see, talking also sorts out of a lot of things. You know, you can tell him, you know, if we behave like this, our children are watching, they'll also learn. So let's behave like this. So something, of course, it should not be like a preaching class, because usually men, they don't like to be preached by, you know, by their wives. So, you know, as in a humble way, whatever you can make, or you can say, this is my expectation, or this is what I'm feeling, or I'm feeling bad about it. Just to please me, can you do it? You know, like that. Just to please me, that will make me happy. Can you just talk to them like that? You know, like that. Talk about it. Talk. Talking will sort out 50%, 60% of your problems. Talk. Most of the time nowadays, what is happening, because both husband and wife are working, they're hardly getting time for each other to talk out, you know. Sometimes once in a while, you should just take a break, both of you, and just sit and talk. Make a list of all those things, and then you sit and talk sometimes. Or weekly, once you have a day where you know what you say, like you have detoxification of the body, you have detoxification of the mind, you just have like that. Whatever is your feeling, you know, I need some time with you, I want to talk to you. Of course, this is again a science. How do you put it? Don't bring out those topics, you know, when he just comes from the office. He's all tired, and then you'll start your story. Then that may not be the right time. So the right time, right situation, right mood, you put up your words. It's an art, you know, you put up your words at the right time. Most of the time, the wives are waiting with their complaints as soon as he comes in the evening, and that makes him double angry that, why did I even come home? You know, I just come for some peace, and then again she'll start. Of course, she has her own problem, because she has been whole day home and she wants somebody to, you know, give a compassionate hearing. So yeah, so that's why you have to maintain a proper balance. Just serve nicely, wait, see whether he's in the right mood, right situation, everything is okay, and then you put it up like that. Because we can, you see, every question is something which we can go on, and it's like a regular day-to-day grihastha problems which we can go on for hours. How do you do it, you know? But it'll be always nice if you can discuss it with some other Matajis, and you know plan it in proper way. How will you express to him without offending him? Like, there are so many things you should take care, you know, without offending. What kind of body language, what are the words that you use when you talk? Everything is so important, right? Everything will make up, yeah, everything will determine what response you will get. The way you put it, the way you spoke, you know. And don't try to bring out previous datas, what happened in 1978 and what happened in 1987 when you went to that marriage and this marriage and that. Keep it to what happened recently and try to sort it out. Okay, this is what happened, but this is what my expectation, or something like that. So like that, I just hope it helps you, Mataji. Okay, we can, yeah, exactly. We'll go for another two questions more, yeah.
Question from one. Mataji, she wants to remain anonymous, and she's saying that Hare Krishna Mataji, how to deal with physical and mentally abusing husband.
Okay, now that's a big topic which we don't encourage. Physical abuse is something which is very serious. So kindly take some help and talk out to some elders or some marriage counselors, or bring it about to your elders, because it's a serious matter when it comes to physical abuse. So this is not something which we can talk on this forum. You should get some external help. Try and get some help from some elderly or whoever is available, your parents or whatever, and discuss it. Yeah, Hare Krishna. We can hear you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Actually, I'm not an ISKCON devotee, but I love Krishna, so I was doing chanting, everything. But I want to join in ISKCON, and I want to go for the four principles of Krishna. I listen all your YouTube plans, Mataji, and I'm there in the WhatsApp group also.
Wonderful, Mataji. Very nice. So from which area you are from? Alright, so just connect to your local temple, Mataji. You can connect to your local temple. They'll help you. Please go to the local ISKCON temple.
Here, no ISKCON temple is there, Mataji. So, it's becoming a problematic for me.
No, there is a temple in Warangal, Mataji. There is an ISKCON temple in Warangal. So, so can you just Google it? Just Google it. ISKCON Warangal. You can Google it, and maybe you can put our phone number, helpline number, on the chat if it's allowed. Okay. You can our number. Oh, it's not open. Huh? If you can, that's about it, Mataji. Just go to Google ISKCON Warangal, or just call the ISKCON Vizag helpline number. They'll help you with any Bhakti Vriksha. Or any local devotees in and around Warangal, they'll connect you. Just call the ISKCON Vizag helpline number. It's there on the website. It's there on the website. Call our number. We'll help you, Mataji. We'll see if there are any devotees around.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Last question.
Okay. How can you help? Counsel them, speak to them, talk to them. Yeah, speak to them, talk to them, and help. I don't know, how can I help? Give them some, pray to Krishna for them. So I'm sure you're already helping them by talking to them. Give them Krishna Prasad, give them Prabhupada books, connect them to ISKCON temple devotees, give them the process of Krishna consciousness. Give them the links of some classes, and nothing works. Anyway, you keep praying to Krishna for them. That is one way we can always help everybody. If you're not able to help them, and our counseling is not helping them, only Krishna can help. So pray to Krishna for them. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Thank you, all the devotees. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Mataji, lastly, Brinda wants to say two lines to you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, how sweet. Thank you so much. So this was a Grihastha class. How come Brinda is in this class?
Yeah, she had so many classes, like Jagannath Pastime, and like so many classes. And she was really, really inspired. And she was, one day she was telling, I want to become a Nithai Sedhivata.
All glories to Guru Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Please do send her sometime. We do get children from all over the world, actually, for this summer camp, you know. You can send her sometime. We do it every year, first Sunday of May. And last year, I think we had a lot of devotees from Middle East and different people. They just came for this, yeah. And sometimes we just custom do it for a particular yatra, because according to their schedule and all. So please do send Vrinda. Vrinda, I'll be looking forward to see you. Do come. And whenever you come to India, do come to Vishakhapatnam. Do visit us. And this is invitation for all the devotees at San Diego. Please do visit us at Vizag. We have a beautiful, beautiful temple coming up right on the Bay of Bengal, right on the beach. Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and Shri Shri Radha Damodar Gornithai temple is coming up. Construction is in full speed going on. Maybe another 2 years we'll be opening the temple. So please do come. Do visit us at Vizag. You're all welcome. Thank you so much. So shall we close it here? We'll close it here. Thank you so much. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah, sure. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna.